This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
We started a subject last week I wanted to take a little bit of time with. We call it game changers. A game changer is a factor that can change a situation in a significant way. We use it oftentimes in sports, but in our lives, there are things that can happen in our lives that are game changers. And we're looking at people's encounters with Jesus. And there's a text scripture that we used last week. It's Hebrews. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, the value of that is that when we see someone having an interaction with Jesus a long time ago, it still is relevant today because Jesus hasn't changed. And so people say, well, you know, my situation has changed, culture's changed. Yes. But every time we read stories in the Bible, don't read stories in the Bible and go, well, that happened to someone else and they don't understand my situation. There's things that happen to all of us are common to people. And so when we read these stories, we read them with a purpose. They're written for us. How many of you know there's a lot of things that Jesus said and did? In fact, John said the world can contain the volumes of all the things that he said and did. So everything that we see is in there for a purpose. And so when we read these stories, don't just read them like, oh, it's a Bible story. Well, it's more than just a Bible story. There are things there we can learn. And we want to learn from people who had good experiences with God. We want to learn from people who had good experiences with Jesus. And so I want to look at tonight at a lady. Last week we talked about just a couple of things. We talked about a man named Jairus. This story, the two stories intersect. But Jairus was a man, we said, two game changers in his life. He had a humility about him. And humility meant since he was willing to bow his knee to God. He was willing to say, God, you're bigger than I am. You're right. When Jairus came to Jesus, he fell at his feet, acknowledging Jesus, you're the greater. It's always a good thing to do. God, you're the greater. Jesus, you're greater. And then we see that Jairus, in the middle of a very tough situation, does not accuse Jesus, didn't blame Jesus. He gave Jesus something to work with his words when he said, look, if you just come lay your hands on her, my daughter, she's at the point of death, she'll be healed. And Jesus went with him. So Jesus and Jairus are going to Jairus' house, and we pick up this story here, and they get interrupted. So let's read in Mark, the 5th chapter, verses 25 through 29. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Now let's take a look at her story for a bit, because her story was, and I call this one the reversing of something that had taken place for a long time. Now her scenario was almost a hopeless situation. She suffered for a long time, 12 years. She had run out of all medical options. All the doctors around, nobody could help her. So she's out of medical options. The doctors are looking at her going, there's nothing I can do. And not only is there nothing I can do, I'm not going to treat you anymore because you don't have any more money. I appreciate doctors, but man, it's always been expensive. And here this girl is, and she's just, man, she's out of money. So she has a condition. It's a tough condition. And now she's out of money. Sick and broke are some of the toughest places to be. Amen. In life. And you think sometimes, and sick and broke, not just for a few weeks, we're talking 12 years. But here's one thing something you get the sense of this lady. You get the sense that she is not giving up. She has got some fight to her. You know, a lot of times people hit a situation like that and they just go, what's the use? What? Forget it. I've tried. No one's helping me. I'm getting worse. I'm feeling worse. I'm feeling better. And she just refused to quit. She still had some fight in her. I want you to keep that in mind, because you'll see this. You'll see people in the Bible. You'll see them have something in them. You can call it just a fighting spirit. Some of it's just an unwillingness to give up. It's just a willingness to hang in there. and just not quit. And so here she was, and man, she's getting worse, and she doesn't want to die. She's like, I don't want to die. And we find that she is open to answers. I've seen them go all over the world trying to get cures, especially when they're sick, trying to get cures for their family. There is something in us that tells us sickness is bad and it's wrong. And if you're a parent who's ever watched sickness on your child, there's nothing in you. I don't know how anybody can look at that and go, oh, God did that to bless. That does not bless. That is awful. And it is, and sickness is a curse of the enemy, and it is not of God. Amen. Let me repeat that. Sickness is a curse of the enemy, and it is not of God. This lady, man, she was feeling bad, but she was open to answers. And the Bible said she heard about Jesus. Now, that's when things start to change. When you hear about Jesus. She'd been hearing from doctors, we can't help you. Sorry, sweetheart, we can't help you. Oh, I got another cure that's going to cost you a lot of money. You don't have any money? I'm sorry, we can't help you. We can't. But then she heard something about Jesus, and that began to change something in this lady's life. She heard something about... Now, you have to think, what did she hear about Jesus? Here's what we can almost guarantee you that she heard. That this Jesus was a miracle-working person that had miracle-working power in his life. Here's something that was amazing. Now, you think everybody knew about Jesus? No, everybody wasn't tweeting about Jesus. Everyone didn't know about Jesus. Jesus, though he was extremely popular, was still unknown by a lot of people. But word began to spread. And word spread that this Jesus was out there. And you can imagine some of the things. Well, I heard he was in this one town, and all people did was reach out and touch his clothes, and they got healed. She must have heard something that indicated that Jesus was a healer. And that's all she heard. But when she heard that, it began to change things. Now, this is where we don't see her acting. We don't see her trying to find Jesus until she hears. But when she heard, faith rose up in her heart. Here's a great verse for you. Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Please notice, guys, that faith does not come by seeing. People say, I believe it when I see it. Actually, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So she heard of Jesus, and that was enough to cause faith to rise up in her. And then we see one more thing. She believed that Jesus' power would heal her personally. She believed that. She made no plans. This is interesting. Because she made no plans to talk to Jesus about healing. We have a lot of people that come to Jesus and they would say, Jesus, if you want to, you can heal me. Jesus, would you heal me? Jesus, would you heal my daughter? Jesus. This lady made zero plans to talk to Jesus. She figured this out. If I just go touch his clothes, I'm going to be well. Don't need to talk to him. Don't need to ask. I'm just going to go ahead and basically sneak a healing from Jesus. And I don't need to tell him anything about this. And you say, well, why wouldn't she tell? Because a woman in her condition was not even allowed to be in public. The Jewish people of the day had quarantine laws that were far and beyond advanced above any other culture. And they had laws where if you were considered in an unclean position, how many of you know that blood can transmit diseases? I mean, that's why some of you who work as a first responder or something, when there's blood on the scene, how many know the gloves are coming out? And so she had a flow of blood, and the Bible said, according to Leviticus, the Bible said that she couldn't be out in public, and if she was out in public, she had to holler out, unclean, unclean. That'll clear the wall, the aisle at Walmart. I mean, nobody's hanging around that. And so, unclean. But she's like, ooh, but if I go out, I can't be out in public. And understand too, guys, women were not treated well. We look at today and I realize Title IX, everything, well, women were still fighting for equality and equal pay. I think that's wonderful. But you have to understand, at this point in time, women were looked upon as property. They were treated horribly. Jesus was the only only one who treated women in that day, treated them well. And if he treated them well then, he still treats them well today. So he's the one that treated well. And so she's like, I can't be out in public because I'd have to yell unclean. So she's working out a deal. She's working, okay. And here was the only question this girl had in her mind. She said, if I can just touch his clothes, that's all. If I can just touch him. That was the only question. She'd think, I know I'll get healed if I can just touch him. Now, her words and her thoughts agreed. Her words and her thoughts, and then what we see again is her actions. So, Alan White, why are you taking the time for this? Because I want to show you that what this lady did, the principles behind it, are what we can adopt in our lives. We don't just look at the story and go, oh, nice story. I'm glad she got healed. That's wonderful. Hey. Many of us, in fact, I can almost say everybody's got some problem that they're dealing with and would like to see it turned around. So if this lady got out of a 12-year problem with the flow of blood, how many of you know if it worked for her, it can work for us as well? And we can come out as well. And so here's one of the things you see. She kept saying the word. The Bible actually said she kept saying. That's the continuous sense. If I can just touch his clothes. You can almost just hear her going, if I can just touch his clothes, I can be well. And then she began to work her way. Now, you have to stop and think about it. How many of you know when you don't feel good, the last thing you want to do is fight through a crowd? When you're not feeling well, you're just like, ugh. This is what I'm saying. This lady had some grit about her. She had some toughness about her. She's like, I am going to fight through this crowd, and I'm sure no one was getting out of her way. And so it's like, she's probably like, excuse me. See, if I can just touch him, I can be healed. And she just kept working her way. I admire her courage. I admire her tenacity. Don't you know when she went out to see where Jesus was and she sees the people, and there's people thronging him, don't you know she had thoughts through her mind like, great. There's all these people around Jesus. How am I going to get to Jesus? Thank God she had some fight in her that said, man, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I am pushing through this and I'm going to get to Jesus. I love her fight. And so she touched Jesus. She said power went out of him, went into her, and she received in her body, she received healing, and then she said she felt it. So feelings came last. She finally feels good and she's thinking, whoa, I'm scot-free. No. Look what happened next. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now, I really say, well, why did Jesus do that? Here's my personal belief. One, I thought this is the kindness and the mercy of the Lord. The kindness of the Lord. One, somebody touched him. We said, well, everybody was touching him. Yes, some were touching him out of curiosity. Some were touching him by accident. Some were touching him because they wanted to see if something was going to happen. This lady went and said, if I can touch him, and boy, she touched him, he felt power go at him. It must have been like grabbing an electric current for her because she immediately felt in her body that it was gone. And by the way, guys, healing power hasn't passed away. We've had already reports of people who we laid hands on a few weeks ago. They got healed. Healing is still for today. Remember we said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, you say, well, I don't believe in that. Well, don't worry about it. Because it won't come to you. But if you won't be bothered with it, but for those of us that are like, I'll take a healing. It's available to us because he hasn't changed. And by the way, you talk about preaching the gospel. Guys, that's what gospel is. It is good news that not only will he forgive your sins, not only will he cleanse you of all sins, he'll heal your body. He'll fill you with his spirit. He'll do good. He'll bless your life. He'll do good things. That's good news. It's more than heaven when you die, although heaven when you die is good news. It's all good news. So say, well, I just want heaven when I die. Well, good. Go. And enjoy. But if you'd hang on just a little bit longer, maybe you could enjoy life on this earth more because he wants to be good to you. He just looked at this look. She was scared to death because Jesus stopped Remember, Jairus is right behind him. His daughter's dying. He just stops and he's looking around for who did this thing. Don't you know it got awkward? And one translation said, seeing she couldn't be hid. Alan's theory. Alan's theory is Jesus honed in on her. And he's looking at her and she's just like, oh. And she came and told him the whole truth. Now, you women know that if anyone can tell the whole truth, you guys tell the whole truth. Men would just walk up and go, I touched you, Lord, and I got healed. Women, they start with the history. Well, 12 years ago, I was not feeling well. And I was having this problem. And I went to the doctor. And the doctor said, we'll try this. And I tried it, but it didn't work. And so he gave me something else to do. And I didn't like him. I finally went to another doctor. And he was even more expensive than the first guy. And so I went to him. Said he told him the whole truth. Jesus got the whole enchilada right there. And I love what he told her. He just looked at her and he smiled. He said, daughter, in the South, we call everybody sweetheart. He probably just looked at her and said, sweetheart, be of good cheer. Be at peace. Go and be healed of your affliction. Now, here's one thing he did. Right then, he stopped the enemy from stealing from her. That she took something that didn't belong to her. And so she can now go and go, I know I snuck this healing, but it's mine now and I'm keeping it. And what a peace it brought to her mind. What a wonderful story. But it's more than just a story. So let's talk about some things. How does this relate to us? Reversing a long-term situation in your life. Here's the first one. You don't need to accept or embrace every negative situation that comes your way. I'm going to tell you something that's a little bit... It's going to be countercultural to oftentimes what people tell you. Well, just accept it. Let me give you a verse that has been a wonderful verse for me. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you just accept it. When we started the Ark 20 years ago, they told us that Conroe was a horrible place to start a church, that Conroe was a graveyard for preachers. And you have a choice as to whether or not you're going to accept that. We chose not to. When my wife was so sick, the doctors looked at us after we spent a ton of money and had a surgery and looked at us and said, there's nothing we can do for her. There's nothing we can do. Next thing we're going to do is take out her pancreas. Or we could put in a morphine shunt. But in terms of reversing the effects of pancreatitis on her body, we can't do anything about it. And so I'm so grateful. I am so grateful. Joy was raised Catholic. I was raised Baptist. I didn't pay any attention. And so when I got older and started listening, I listened to people who told me the healing hadn't passed away. And I'm so grateful. Because when Joy and I walked out of that, I'll never forget, we were way up in the medical center. We walked out. We caught the elevators. We didn't say anything going down in the elevator. Just a quiet elevator ride. We talk with the surgeon. He's looking at us going, there's nothing we can do. And I remember we got in the car and we didn't say much on the way home. But at some point in time, I just looked over her and I go, God's a healer. And she said, God's a healer. And we have been taught that God was a healer. And so even though the doctors looked at my wife in her 30s with three small kids at home and said, you know, you don't have really good chances. It's not good. Thank God we did not have to accept it. Amen. Now, that's my story. What's yours? What if someone told you it's not going to happen? It can't happen. It's impossible. It's not going to work. The odds are against you. And you're going to have to determine whether or not you're going to accept it. Here's, guys, what I would really encourage you to do. Doctors will tell you a lot of things, and I love doctors. I've got one. Our family doctor is a friend of mine. He's a wonderful man. At one point in time, he said something. He's a believer, too. One time, he said something disparaging to me about healing. He's more blunt than I am. And I just looked at him. I said, hey, you stick to medicine, I'll stick to faith. How about we do it that way? And I didn't mean it unkind. What I'm basically saying is, I realize you're a doctor and you're a lot smarter than I am, but I know a God who still heals today. And I'm going to be... He went, oh, okay, all right. And you don't have to, listen, don't have to be ugly about it. But neither do you have to accept it like it's the last word. There's always other words. So be careful about what you embrace. Some of you have got to renew a little bit of a fight in you. Or they've told you, well, you're clinically depressed. You don't have any choice. And this is the way it's always going to be. You're bipolar. This is the way it's always going to be. And you have to just be very careful about what you say. I'm going to embrace that. I'm going to take that. And I can't tell you how many of us have had some, I mean, just, we're talking sickness and disease. How about this? When I married Joy, her dad, that they were estranged from, and he'd come back to the wedding. He didn't raise her. Stepfather raised her. He's dancing with her at the wedding. And he says to her, oh, not congratulations. He goes, hey, if it doesn't work out with that guy, you can always come and live with me. And they didn't give Joy and I a chance. And they didn't think we were going to make it. They said. Do you realize they ain't always right? And so you have to go, well, who is they? And do I have to accept it? So one, with God in our lives, we can still keep fighting. Second thing is, what we hear is vitally important. My hat's off to you for coming to church on a Wednesday night. A lot of places you could be. But you'll hear words tonight that can put a different perspective in you. Words you'll hear tonight can be like, oh, well, maybe there is hope. Oh, well, maybe I don't have to accept that. Oh, maybe God can move in my life. Those are valuable words. What you hear is vitally important. Look what Jesus said here in Mark. He said, consider carefully what you hear. You got to be careful what you hear. Listen, if you're struggling with your marriage, you've heard me say this before, I'm going to say it again. If you're struggling with your marriage and you're having a difficult time, what you do not need is your friend at work who's constantly telling you that marriage is never intended to work for people and that he's on his third and it's not working for him and it's not going to work for you. You need another friend. You can be nice to them, but you don't have to accept everything they have to say. Did y'all hear me on that? Y'all got real quiet. And don't be that one. Don't be the one go, well, you know, I've been married four times. That didn't work for me. Hey, who is they and what are they the truth? At some point in time, you have to be careful what you hear. You don't need someone pounding into your ear all the time. Well, honey, I just leave him. Honey, I just leave him. Well, honey, I don't care about your mama. You need to say, mama, you need to back off for a little bit because I'm going to do my best to make this thing work, and I don't need you in my ear. That's... Should I clap at that? Yeah, go ahead. All the mamas are like, mm-hmm, yeah. Do you understand? You understand what I'm saying? I'm using very general terms. What I'm saying is you got to listen carefully to what you hear. When we were so sick, Joy, we had a friend, a good friend, a believer friend who did not believe that healing was for today. And she told Joy over and over again, healing's not for today. Sent her articles about a lady who had what Joy had and died. And Alan went postal on that one. Alan just... My holy indignation and with the combination of a lot of flesh rose up. And I just said, that woman is banned from coming in my house. You say, well, that's rude and that's not Christian. Hey, when you're fighting for your life, you don't need to hear someone telling you that God doesn't do this anymore and it's all passed away. Now listen, if you've come from that background, I understand. And understand, a lot of times we're just a product of what we've heard, but the scriptures indicate differently. And at some point in time, you want to begin to entertain the idea that, hey, maybe God still does do wonderful things today. Yes. And that's a fact. Careful what you hear. That woman, when she heard of Jesus, that's what enabled her to go ahead. Here's the next one. This is one I want to talk about. Looks like we'll close with this one. You have to believe that God will help you. You have to make it personal. This is one of the ones that's it's I think it's almost an unconscious thing that people will look at ministers, they'll look at public people, they'll look at people and they'll go, well, I know that God will do something for them. I don't think he'll do anything for me. And let me give you some great scriptures here that can help dissuade you of thinking that way. But from those, Paul was writing here, he said, but from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. For those who seem to be something. Paul was talking about that leaders in the church had agreed with Paul, and Paul said, doesn't matter. He said, whatever they were, he said, it doesn't matter to me. He said, God shows personal favoritism to no man. Now, guys, we live in a day where there's personal favoritism all over. You hear about privilege, and these are privilege, and these are not privilege. We're accustomed to teacher's pets. We're accustomed to mama liked you most. We're accustomed to all of these things. And so it's very difficult for us to understand that there is a God who is completely just and completely fair, and he shows no personal favoritism to everyone. Now, see, that's a thought that kind of people hear it and they go, yeah, I don't believe that. Because I believe that God loves joy more than he loves anybody else around him here. And the bottom line is, he doesn't. And here's another thing. He won't hear her prayer quicker than he hears your prayer. Or mine. See, it always gets really quiet. They're like, well, I hope he hears yours. You're the pastor. But in other words, I don't come to him and go, Heavenly Father, it's Pastor Allen. He's pretty unimpressed. He's not moved by titles. There's one name that moves him. There is one name that we come to him. There is one name that we can pray to him. There's only one name that matters. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, your Son, whom you sent for me. Let me give you a wonderful scripture. Galatians 3. Now, this is in the New King James, and I read it out of some other translation. I like it in this one. It says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. Now, I realize that's kind of a, whoa, what do you mean there's neither Jew? We're talking about in positionally speaking, in the eyes of God, when anyone comes in here, whether they were living in a homeless shelter in Conroe or whether they're living in a mansion on the lake, as soon as someone comes in and says, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I make you the Lord of my life. Then regardless of their station in life, they become in Christ. They put on Christ. And what God sees is what Jesus did for us. And so when we pray, we don't pray as a pastor. We don't pray as a worship leader. We don't pray as a wealthy man. We don't pray as a poor man. We pray as someone that says, God, I am in Christ. I come to you in Christ Jesus, not on my own, not in the failures of my past, but I've put on Christ. Thank you, I'm your child. Thank you, you're at no personal favors. Actually, you have one favorite. His name is Jesus, and I'm with him. Do you see that? That's a thought worth chewing on for a little while. Take that scripture, begin to say, Father, thank you that I'm in Christ. Yes. That I have a relationship with him. That I made Jesus my Lord. And that gives me the right to pray. That gives me the right to believe that you'll be good to me. Well, Alan, you don't know my past. Your past was washed when you made Jesus your Lord. And so, one of the key things, this is why I admire this little lady in the Bible. One of the key things she did was she just believed it was going to work for her. And there's nothing wrong with believing God will be good to me. If he's got no favorites, then I can believe him and he'll be good to me. Well, you don't have the right background. It doesn't matter what my background is. Well, you didn't go to Bible school. It doesn't matter what I went to Bible school or not. What matters is I've made Jesus my Lord. Where there's no male nor female, there's not Greek, there's not slave, there's not anything other than I'm in him. And that's when the Father looks down, he sees Jesus and he sees me going, I'm with him. I'm with him. I'm getting in. I'm with him. Some of you went to bars years ago where they had these old clandestine bad bars where they looked out through a door, go, who are you? And you go, I know so-and-so. They open the door. Dark places, right? Those are bad places. You can get killed in places like that. Obviously, you didn't, but you could. I've been in a couple of those places. I do not look like I belong. I look like Howdy Doody walked into the bar. I'm like... But they did. They looked at me like... And I knew someone's name, and that's how we got in. Hey, let me tell you something. In heaven, all you got to do is you're standing in the door, and the angel looks up and goes, who are you? And you go, I'm with him. And he's like, oh, Jesus, come right on in. That's the way it works. It's not what you've done. It's not who you are. It's not who your parents are. It's the fact that you're in him. Amen. And if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new, and that opens up a world of possibilities to you. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the mercy. Thank you that we can believe you, that we can have a faith and a confidence in you, that you love us and you're not showing favoritism to any of us. Thank you, Lord, that our confidence is in Christ, and we give him all the praise and all the glory. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you came this evening and you can't say that with any confidence, Alan, I don't know that I'm in Christ or not. Maybe you were at one time and you've gotten away and you feel so out of fellowship, you feel so lost, or maybe you've never said that. God, I need Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of my life. We're going to say a very simple but powerful prayer. And if I'm talking to you, this is your night. What a great night. If heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking around, that's you that I'm talking to. You say, Alan, I do want a relationship with the Lord Jesus, or I want to come back into fellowship with him. Would you pray for me? We're not going to have you stand up. We're not going to have you come to the front, but we are going to pray. And this is a good time to do it. If that's you, slip your hand up real quick. Across the auditorium. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Hands have gone up all over. Anybody else? Thank you. Don't miss this. This is the best thing you can do is ever to be in Christ or get back into him. Thank you. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You were debating it. You wanted to. Pray this prayer with us from your heart. We're going to pray it with you. It's a heart thing. I appreciate the courage of those who lifted their hands, but listen, it's not too late for you. You can jump right into the middle of this prayer. We're going to pray it together. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. And I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ. Because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Thank you for the promise of life, eternal life that we have in Christ. And I thank you, Father, for the possibilities that just became available to so many. We give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.